Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Our political correspondent Sean Defoe is back with us live from Leinster House. Sean, when we spoke to you literally 35 minutes ago, the Dáil was suspended for the second time. It has since recommenced and been suspended again. It wasn't third time lucky.
No, that's right. Yeah, the whips came back in and the chief whip, Hildegard Nocton, came in to say that they were requesting 45 minutes of a further adjournment to discuss this issue of the speaking time. This is their regional independent group looking to have speaking time with the opposition, despite being supporters of the government, and something that has got them extremely excised in the Dáil today. Huge fights going on, shouting matches. Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin was roaring up at members of the regional independent group, including Michael Lowry, who was sort of smirking from one of the backbenches of the Dáil. He targeted others, including Matty McGrath and Danny Healy-Ray, who I think were kind of surprised even to be caught in the spotlight of it. And it's all been handled really quite poorly by the new Count Corla, Verona Murphy, who has not been able to have any sort of a control on the Dáil, and so has had to suspend it now three times. For what it's worth, the old Count Corla, Sean O'Farrell, is sitting among the backbenches for the first time and sort of has his arms crossed and a wry smile on his face. I wonder, is he thinking it's not as easy as everyone made it out to be? All of this delaying the election of a government and the election of a Taoiseach by at least 3 hours now, which means we probably won't have those ministers until very, very late tonight, maybe 10 or 11 o'clock even at the moment. Or while the last recess was on, I was in the Dáil chamber and all of the opposition whips were sort of huddled together. They were meeting, running between each other, trying to come up with a joint negotiating platform or joint tactic here, and some TDs had told me they were happy to keep up this ruckus and keep disrupting the Dáil until they get the solution they want.
Just, you know, on the tactics, I suppose, and what's going on behind the scenes right now as we speak, Brendan Howland, former Labour leader and former Labour cabinet minister, is with us on the programme as well. Brendan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good. Now, Brendan, you served previously. You were appointed last Count Corla. What's your view of Verona Murphy's performance so far today?
Well, I suppose it's a little bit invidious to ask me that. Verona is a Wexford TD and would have been a colleague of mine in the last Dáil. I think that, you know, you need a certain temperament to have the role of Count Corla, and you have to really have a mindset that says, I am now above the party political fray and I'm going to give equality of opportunity. And we made a decision some $2 ago that we'd move away after the debacle of the economic crisis from, you know, the Count Corla's position being part of the general negotiations for a government, and instead to leave it, as in the Westminster model, to every member of the Dáil to pick the person who they think is best to represent not government, not any faction of government or any faction of the Dáil, but represent the interests of the Parliament itself. And unfortunately, that was done away with in this particular Dáil when Michael Lowry negotiated the position of Count Corla, and it was given to one of his own group, Verona Murphy. And I think that put her at a great disadvantage coming into a row like today, and doubly disadvantaged that, you know, the proposition at the heart of the controversy comes from the very group that made her the Count Corla. So she's in a very, very difficult situation, and we have to recognise that.
But there's three suspensions after what, maybe an hour and a half. The whole proceedings of the day, Brendan, as Sean just told us, delayed at least by the guts of 3 hours. Like, what message does this send for the tenure of the next Dáil? We can't even get the first day going.
Well, it's shambolic to look in on it. And I've been looking in on it, obviously, on the television for the first time in 40 years, not being there. So I'm looking, if you like, through different eyes. And this is normally a very solemn day when the Taoiseach and government is elected, because there are two fundamental responsibilities under the Constitution for every member of Dáil Éireann. One is to elect a Taoiseach in government, and the second is to pass a budget. So this is normally a very solemn day. The people have spoken in a general election, a government is formed, and so on. But it is the way this government has been put together. Nobody knows what deals have been done. The controversy over, you know, the main negotiator for the regional group All of that has added an unseemliness to this day.
And the speaking times and all that goes with that. Can you take us behind the scenes, though, Brendan, in your with your last Cancoria hat back on for a few moments, right? So Verona Murphy has suspended the Dáil three times and she's in now, as Sean told us, getting advice. What advice, what advice do you need for the third time? I'm trying to get my head around that.
Yeah, well, the principal advisor, obviously, is the clerk of the Dáil. Peter Finnegan is an extremely experienced public servant, knows the rules of the House and the procedures of the House. But, you know, Dáil Éireann isn't a court of law. In many ways, I know this might sound light, it is a theatre, because people perform there as well. And that's what parliaments are. They, you know, people present their case in as dramatic a way
like
as
the
they can. That's just the way it is in many ways. And so, you know, you need to, if you're actually chairing that, to give space for people to feel that, you know, their rights are not being trampled upon, that everybody is treated equally and fairly. And that sometimes, you know, you allow things to run in a way that you say, rather than be in a way trying to shut down debate, shut down discussion, because that only really prolongs things in my experience.
So then do you think the speaking time as opposition, despite being in government, should be granted?
Oh, I think it's an absolutely farcical suggestion. I mean, it is beyond a joke. This is you know, Alice in Wonderland stuff.
Yeah. But then is the advice not pretty clear, Brendan, on this? Like, I don't understand how it's taken 2 hours to get advice on something that we all seem to know the advice of.
Well, what is the advice?
But surely
nobody has seen it.
But if, like, as you just described it as Alice in Wonderland stuff. Like,
no. I mean, that's from any objective point of view. You cannot possibly.
No.
One of the nerdy things I used to do with Leath Town Corley is read the standing orders and the salient rulings of the chair. And people used to say to me, you know, you're nerdy because you know all these rules. But the standing orders are crystal clear about members in opposition. And you cannot possibly be part of the support team, one of the three legs of a stool in government, committed to vote always for the government, and then pretend to be in the opposition.
Well, so you want to sit on both sides of the House, basically.
Well, you see, I want all the benefits of government, but I'd like all the benefits of opposition as well, if you don't mind. Thanks very much. So it is that is just a ludicrous proposition.
There's a soccer match going on here, Brendan, at the TV from replaying from last night, and it's literally as if, you know, we have footballers that want to play for both sides of the team. It's absolute mad stuff.
No, it is mad stuff. It is mad stuff, and I can't understand how that wasn't completely resolved before now. But I think actually there's something more fundamental about it, and that is, I think there's an arrogance of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They've been in government so long. Fine Gael, you know, heading now 14 years in government, embarking on another five. And they think that, sure, we have the numbers, we can do anything. And that goes down badly with people. They respect the institutions of our state. You know, the office of the president, the functionality of the Dáil. I know it can be messy and all the rest at times, but they don't like running roughshod in a way, you know, a Trumpian way, that my way or no way, and rules are rules except when we want to bend them. And I think that has been a very bad start for this government.
Are you at home, Brendan, today now with the feet up in the sitting room and you have the popcorn and you're giggling away at this, are you?
You're absolutely right. As I say, it's the first time in 40 years that I actually, in more than 40 years, that I haven't been in the Dáil or in Leinster House for these occasions. I have to say, I'm not terribly missing it.
No. So we can't get it started. You'll have to come back and get the whole thing kicked off, Brendan, by the sounds of this.
I do believe that things will be rectified now, but it is just a shocking shame that they weren't rectified yesterday or the day before yesterday. Why? I mean, we've had weeks since the general election, ample opportunity for the business committee, and I understood that, you know, people are reasonable there, and it's behind closed doors, so there's nothing to be gained from shouting or ranting at the business committee, and an amicable arrangement to be made. It seems the solution to me seems patently obvious. The independent members who are not office holders but part of government, should be allocated specific government time to speak and table questions and so on.
Okay.
Well, from the government side, because that's what they are. They are, analogous to backbench government TDs, and that can be provided for. But it would mean the government ceding some of its speaking slots to these independents. And clearly, they thought, sure, we won't bother doing that.
We won't bother.
We'll just erode the time of the opposition.
You would imagine when today was supposed to be all formality that we could have sorted this out. The Dáil hasn't sat properly since the 7th of November, which is about the guts of 11 weeks. Sean Defoe, you're still counting the minutes of this third suspension. So when are things likely to reconvene again?
Hopefully around 2 o'clock seems to be the time. But that said, the last suspension was meant to be for half an hour. It took nearly an hour and 10 minutes to go through. So I'm not so sure. On the whole organising thing, there is actually a committee that was set up. I think it was set up during Brendan's time, actually, the business committee of the Dáil, which is meant to meet every Thursday to decide the business for the next week. But in reality, they meet. They don't really agree anything anymore, and then they come and have a row about it in the Dáil and delay everything. So there's ways and means that have been tried to put around this. And on the whole decision, I mean, Verona Murphy was a member of these regional independents who were looking to speaking time only a couple of weeks ago, and it was Richard O'Donoghue, the Limerick TD, got up in the Dáil and said, you know, if you were in a court of law and the judge had an interest in the case, there's absolutely no way they could be involved. They'd recuse themselves and called on her to do so.
Yeah, it's, you know, we need a committee about the business committee to try and get this up and running, hopefully by the fourth time this afternoon. Political correspondent Sean Defoe. Brendan, thanks a million. Brendan Howland there as well. Former Labour leader, Cabinet Minister, Las Concordia. You can enjoy the popcorn and proceedings of the afternoon as well. The email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.